Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day, everybody, and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett, and today we are talking round 14 waiver wires and just a bit of a recap of what's happened in round 13. And to help me do that, as always, Stevie Fizz, how you doing, mate?
Doing okay, Jono. G'day to all the listeners out there. I'll be honest, Jono, I'm a little bit sad. A little bit sad.
Why's that, mate?
I've had a bit of a reality check on my fame level.
Oh, yes. I saw that on Twitter.
Good old South Australia.
They brought you down a peg, didn't they?
One peg? They brought me down several pegs. And all I have to say, I'm a bitter person, Jono. I'm a little bit sad, but you have an illegitimate time zone. It's completely irrelevant. It's a pile of crap. And I'll be in.
Well done, Robbo.
I'll be in Adelaide for a few days, so I'm sure I'll make do. And looking forward to a pie floater. I've got to say, I've never had one. Have you guys had one?
What the hell's a pie floater?
A pie in pea soup.
Yeah, not my cup of tea.
Well, anyway, I'm looking forward to it, John. I think it's going to be delicious, and I look forward to getting there.
Just lost your sound there for a second.
Oh, okay. Steve? Well, I'll do the usual trick of recording my audio track in later.
Okay, that's all right then.
All right.
And as always, he looks pretty comfortable sitting in his chair at one of his chateau there in Tassie. He's our Statesman. Welcome to you, mate.
I'm shattered, gentlemen.
Why is that? No Lucky Neil this weekend?
No, well, I'm shattered about that too, just quietly. But I'm shattered. Mickey Barlow, it's second time broken leg. That's so unfortunate. And he was in every team I own, basically. So took a major hit on my midfield structure, that's for sure. Let alone the poor man himself, of course.
Yeah, and with that break, do you think he comes back from that injury? Because it took him a long time. When he was a much younger man to come back from that injury, from memory, I think it was 15 or 16 months or 2 years till he's playing some really good football again.
Yeah, don't know how severe it is compared to the previous one, but you'd think there'll be a rehab period next year, sort of like someone coming back from a knee injury where they're just not quite as good as they originally were for the first 12 months back. That's when he turns 30, so that's an interesting challenge for Mickey Barlow. He's never been great on pace, to be fair. He's been a possession gatherer and just gives a lot of young midfielders the opportunity at Gold Coast to cement his spot.
Yeah, it's sad.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have a question on that a bit later on in the show as well. But a fair bit of news coming out of the weekend. A lot of injuries, if you haven't been up to date. Scotty Selwood on Thursday night went off with a bit of hammy soreness. Playing all right, but he had that history before of soft tissue injury, so just put him on ice for the rest of the game there. If you're wondering why Rockliffe was so poor on the weekend, he just had a bit of a flu, a bit of a cold, so didn't go too well there for Rocky, but nothing to fear with him. We know he had that shoulder a couple of weeks ago, but that's all good. Jared Pollock tweaked his hammy as well, has been going okay himself for Port Adelaide there. We saw Michael Barlow break his leg Saturday night. And in the Western Bulldogs game and Melbourne game, Lin Jong's gone off with a possible ACL injury, so not good there for Lin Jong. And towards the end, Nathan Jones, he's been his quad, has been iced up, but the D's were that far in front, so probably just getting him ready for recovery a bit early there as well. And Jaden Hunt went up in a marking contest and landed Auckland the as well. Went down to the rooms with his shoulder, so not too sure about on that one. And also Jack Watts came off. Looked like his hammy was iced up as well, so he's having a pretty good game himself there. But probably the biggest one was on Sunday at the GWS training. Josh Kelly and Hopper, they went off. And GWS are playing funny buggers and haven't revealed exactly what they are. So a bit of a wait and see to see what happens with Kelly and Hopper there. Because I know, Steve, you were quite high on him this week.
Yeah, it's I just hope for their sake they don't get the dreaded GWS listing of TBC, which apparently is an 8-year injury. Lids. Yeah, I hope you live again.
Well done. How do you, does it feel like a cleanse, or you just don't feel good about it and you need a shower?
No, I'm glad I got rid of lids. I got the win, so it's just a piece of me gone, though. Just a piece
but,
of me.
But some good news for you, Steve. Reece Palmer had 29 disposals in the twos there in a loss for Carlton, so there could be a chance. You never know.
So you're telling me there's he'll just reinvent himself.
Liam Jones can get a game. Reece Palmer certainly can.
Yeah, he'll just reinvent himself somehow. He'll play some other position.
Lockdown small defender.
Yeah, absolutely. That's totally within his wheelhouse and acceptable. And what can you say? It's all over for old Reecey. Anyway,
if you do want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors, or at Statesman33. Check out the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. We've got Steve's A Dozen Deals, Statesman Skippers, and my late week pickups dropping each week. Make sure you check it out there. But we are talking waiver wire pickups for this week. And when we do talk about the waiver wires, we use Ultimate Footy ownership, and we use 65%, just so if you're playing in deeper leagues, you got more of a chance to pick these players up. And to kick us off this week, Steve, with your waiver wires, mate.
Yeah, cheers. I've certainly got a few this week. I think there's some pretty good ones. And just for the listeners, if anyone in your leagues drops someone of note from any of the teams on bye, Adelaide, Collingwood, Essendon, etc., certainly have a look and grab them. But kicking it off, I want to start off with defender, the million-dollar man, apparently, for Adelaide, Jake Lever, only owned in 60% of leagues, playing the Hawks this week. I certainly think he's a great pickup, especially for your keeper leagues. Also, another defender, Darcy Byrne-Jones for Port Adelaide. We like the defenders playing against Collingwood, and we've seen Pittard go out of the team, and Darcy Byrne-Jones threw out a great score this week, so he's got Collingwood this week. Certainly like his chances to throw out another good score. Bit of a different play, and it's a bit long-term, relates to the Barlow injury. Michael Riccitelli, midfielder, only in 21% of teams. Think he's a reasonable pickup if you can wait a couple of weeks. Couple forwards, Matty Kennedy for GWS, only in 52% of teams. Playing Brisbane this week, he's thrown out some nice scores for you lately. I certainly think he's a handy acquisition, as is his teammate, Steve Johnson, who's only in 64% of teams. What can you do? I mean, they're free. They're playing Brisbane. Give them a crack. Also, forward Wayne Malira, only in 27% of teams. I certainly wouldn't mind a piece of this Adelaide forward line at midfield against the Hawks this week. I certainly expect them to win. I'll be in Adelaide Thursday night, so hopefully my car doesn't get lit on fire when the Hawks maybe topple them. I don't expect that. Defender? I certainly wouldn't mind a defender playing against the Gold Coast, the way they use the ball. And that's Sam Gilbert for the St Kilda Football Club, only in 33% of teams. St Kilda playing the loose man in defence. A lot of the other St Kilda defenders are very highly owned, so I'll take a crack at him. And the last one, guys, only in 57% of teams, and that is Cam Guthrie, playing Fremantle at Shell Stadium or whatever the hell it's called, Cadinia Park, midfielder. He's always a chance to get defender status, but he had a great game on the weekend, and if they're going to roll with this two-ruck setup or forward and ruck, Blixarves is out of the team, we know that. Scooter Selwood's injured, so there could be some more midfield minutes for Cam Guthrie. He certainly did nothing wrong on the weekend.
Very true.
Absolutely. And Statesman, who have you got there for your waiver wire pickups?
I do only have four to add on to those. Matt Kennedy, I reckon, is an absolute ripper pickup, Steve. Actually picked him up myself in a long-winded trade, which I'm sure you boys will try and grill me with a little bit later. But midfielder, due to Michael Barlow's injury, is Matt Rosa. Only owned in 53%, scored 85 against Carlton, and now with Mickey out, he will get more opportunities through that midfield rotation, which he did actually have some time in the guts in that game against Carlton. So Matt Rosa, I think quite worthwhile. He's not going to turn up on a weekly basis by any stretch of the imagination, but should give you a solid 70 to 90 points if Jono can stay awake. Hopefully I can rattle through the rest of them. This one's a surprise. I've got a ruckman, gentlemen.
Really? That's interesting.
Only owned 63%. Can you tip who the ruckman is?
Ruckman. Tom Hickey?
Tom Hickey is our man. Longer has been serviceable, but the Saints need their number one man back now. He's been two games back from his injury spell, and he's right and ready to go. Longer was smashed on the weekend. Expect Hickey to come straight in, and he'll be their number one ruckman for the remainder of the year, and he should pump out an average of about 75 to 80. So Tom Hickey ruckman, only owned by 63%. Next one's a defender forward, Nick Robertson, averaging 75 over the past 4 weeks and only owned by 22%. Little nuggety type, works hard and sort of builds up his points through pressure acts as well. So can certainly get a bit of the footy, but certainly will do the tackling as well. And last but not least, Kane Lambert. We talked about him last week. Richmond forward, owned by 57%. We highlighted him last week and keeps on pumping out the scores with a 96 this week against the Sydney Swans. So Kane Lambert forward for Richmond, 25 years of age and playing pretty good footy.
Yeah, absolutely. He's had him in the late week pickups articles this week. So well done if you got Kane Lambert. A few waiver wires for me this week is Mark Paperone for the Brisbane Lions. Only in 39% of teams, but been producing some pretty nice scores the last couple of weeks in your low to mid-80s, so quite serviceable there for a D5 position if you need to pick one up. Mark Blixarves, only owned by 64% of teams. Not great, but if Scooter Selwood's going to miss and they need a big body to chase someone around, could do the job. And we saw Reece Stanley and Zach Smith play, right? So I don't know if they're going to go that extra tall as well, but just one to keep an eye on. As Steve mentioned before with Miller, I'm liking Jono Beach for Adelaide as well, owned by 7%. So as he said, playing the Hawks, should get plenty of it. And actually played quite all right the other week before they were off the bye. Another one with Lynn John going down. I think Clay Smith will come back into the team. Had 20 disposals and kicked a couple of goals in the VFL on the weekend. So he's only owned by 29% of teams. He's coming off a calf injury there. And also one to watch, Mitch McGovern. He's off. He's playing reserves. He's played all right at the start of the year before he got injured, and he's only owned in 16% of teams there. If you're looking for a forward later on in the year or even your keeper leagues.
Yeah, and I just wanted to touch on quickly, when we're talking about waivers, I mean, I'd be careful if I was using a top priority on a lot of these guys. I mean, I'd use top priority on three of mine, but we've just listed 16 guys, so maybe if I was down the list, I'd feel a bit freer using it. But certainly be careful in where you're using your waiver priority. You don't want to burn it on a guy like, you know, Stevie J or someone who's a one-week acquisition, quite frankly.
Yes, absolutely. You always put it in an order that best suits your team.
For sure.
But if you are liking the show, do check us out on iTunes, Stitcher and SoundCloud. Hit the subscribe button. And while you're doing that, also hit the review button. It takes you a couple of minutes. We really appreciate it. We're happy to read it out on the show. Give yourself a bit of a pump up. It really helps our brand, so check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. Moving on now, we're going to do a bit of a review of Round 13, and it kicked off on Thursday night between West Coast and Geelong, with West Coast getting the biscuits.
Yeah, hard team to read, isn't it, West Coast Eagles? But they had a good win on the weekend. No surprise, playing at home. Sam Mitchell racked it up with 117 points. The great man, Dom Sheed, who we highlighted on the waiver wires only 3-4 weeks ago, big 137 before the bye, after the bye, 112. Just playing a beautiful role for him, linking up player through the half forward and pushes up to the wing, but also a great defensive player too, so racks up a few of the tackles. Luke Shuey may be a little bit in trouble in the MRP this week, but he racked up another ton with 110. Matt Prittis, much better performance. He'd certainly slowed down over the previous month with 108. Andrew Gaff and Nathan Vardy tunned up, but just talking about Lysette before Steve, be interesting to see what happens with those ruck positions and West Coast Eagles. What's your read on that?
Yeah, I'm actually a bit worried about Scott Lysette, to be honest. I think they're going to go with a two-ruck setup. Lysette's been playing second ruck in the second, so I'm real worried.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I think Petrie are probably the one that drops out, and Vardy and Lysette be the two that play. Would that be fair?
Oh, absolutely. I'm just surprised because I thought they're a sort of a slower team, so I didn't think they'd want the extra big in there, but it just seems that that's the way they're gonna go, and Vardy's been performing, so I'm really worried about Scott Lysette. I think he might be Rory Lobb-like.
Yeah, I think you're right. Elliot Yeo, a little bit quieter this week with 98. Again, his role seems to be changing. Seems to be performing best when he's on the half-back flank, but he's a needs-based player, so they just put him where the most important role for him is on any given week. Jack Darling certainly been in form over the last couple of weeks with 87. And Lewis Jetta also looks in decent form too. And probably not so much on the point scoring, 76 this week, but geez, he looked classy by foot, gentlemen.
Yeah, they certainly looked to feed him the ball because his skill was so good and actually kicked a pretty nice goal on the boundary line too. So maybe it is that bit of pace that, well, it is the pace West Coast have been looking for. And if he can keep that form up, going to be a handy inclusion for him.
And that's the wrap-up on West Coast Eagles, gents.
Yeah, and I've got the Cats, and they were a bit slow to get out of the blocks. West Coast were all over them pretty early. It's not so much your usual suspects for this game. We saw Joel Selwood get the heavy tag. He didn't do too much right until the end to boost the points. Everyone was all about Scooter Selwood, but he copped that hamstring tightness, and we didn't see him for about a quarter and a half there, so scores were down for him. Danger, as always, was fantastic. They tried to give him a bit of push and shove and keep him quiet, but you're not going to keep the good players down, scoring 116 Dream Team, 141 Supercoach. Steve mentioned Cam Guthrie. He was outstanding, going 110 in both formats there, just involved in everything on the wide domain stadium there. I thought Mitch Duncan was fantastic, played really good four quarters of footy there. And Reece Stanley, who I had as a late week pickup, was pretty solid. And Zach Smith was also pretty solid there in Dream Team as well. And moving on now to the Friday night game, we had North Melbourne taking on the Saints. And you thought this game was pretty much over, but nothing like a bit of junk time goals to improve the score.
Yeah, look, was that a lead-in, Jono? Jesus Christ.
Well, the junk time goals, bang, there you go.
Yeah, look, North was simply outclassed. The scoreline was flattering. I just wonder if this team's out of gas and you know, what was predicted at the start of the year is actually going to start to happen, where the North are going to start unravelling. But Goldie was good. Scored 83 Dream Team, 128 Supercoach. It's going to be really interesting to see what they do with this forward ruck setup because, you know, with Jared Wade especially, because they have to keep playing Mason Wood and Ben Brown. So I'm not particularly sure how it works because they're going to have to get Bruce into the team, wouldn't you think, at some point, Jono?
Yeah, Bruce was pretty good in the VFL as well. Had about 50 hit-outs and 20 disposals, I think it was.
Yeah, so it's really weird to say. It might be a good time to sell on Goldie. I'm not sure. Sam Gibson continues to not miss matches, racked up another big ton for you. Cunnington, back to his best. Looked like he needed the week off. We know he got a knock about a month ago. He'd been carrying it, so he was back. Luke McDonald continues his ripping form with an 87 Dream Team, 93 Supercoach. So if you got him as a defender, you're certainly enjoying his output. Marley Williams, one of the better recruits going around this year. He's turned it around from his form at Collingwood, give his 70 Dream Team and 91 Supercoach. Jack Zeebel, he gave you the ton in Dream Team, but he just continues to hack it up. And all the forwards scored pretty bad because the boys going into 50 was just terrible for North.
Just like Jed Anderson's game as well.
Well, Jed, was he out there?
Apparently.
Yeah, remember when, what did Jed Anderson cost? A first round pick or something? Anyway, well, you know, hindsight.
Oh, something like that, something ridiculous like that.
Yeah, hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
But for the Saints, certainly is. The Saints, they were fantastic on Friday night. Seb Ross was outstanding yet again. If you got him in those middle to late rounds, you'd be pretty happy with him. We go 115, Dream Team 120, Supercoach. Joey Montagna, I thought, had a pretty good game just to stick it up Dermy for his comments the week before. Nick Riewoldt, his first game back, just getting the rust out. He was pretty solid, tonning up in Dream Team and getting the 92 in Supercoach. Jack Billings could have kicked a bag of six, kicking the 2 goals 4, but still getting the tons in both formats. He's putting together a nice month of footy there, Jack Billings. Dylan Roberton, we thought that with Jimmy Webster coming back, it would affect his scores a little bit, which it did to an extent, but he was back to his best, tonning up again in both formats and going pretty good in Supercoach with a 120. Jack Sinclair, which as Steve has mentioned a few times, was quite good getting a Supercoach ton, and so too did Timmy Membry there as well. He got the Supercoach ton for you.
Yeah, how did that ever happen? Jesus.
I don't know. I was looking at the stats and I just couldn't work it out. Luke Dunstan was mentioned as a late week pickup. Would have scored you a nice 80 and 90 in Dream Team and Supercoach as well. And if you're Jack Stephen over, it seems that the tag is back in vogue. Steve is just furious as a Jack Stephen.
Oh, Jack Stephen. Oh,
I remember.
I thought cutting off the mullet was going to like help Jack Stephen, but you are my worst midfielder now, Jack Stephen. Officially. Like the worst.
Oh, no. The name player. You can't shift the tag. It's just like going into this next game, we had Richmond taking on Sydney. Thought Cochin was doing a little bit of damage, but they didn't shift the tag from Dusty. Fire away for the Richmond players.
Yeah, look, I didn't actually see this game, but I'm led to believe everything went to plan for Richmond, didn't it? Is that?
Yep, big lead.
It was a fantastic game of footy.
Yeah, look at him sitting there in his buddy lion skin robe eating grapes. And he just... Yeah, no, look, Richmond obviously got out to a flyer and then got reeled in. So, obviously, Richmond, the team that could have been, like, first of the ladder. But, Johnny, you got to be loving Basher Hooley's form. Continues to tear it up. 114-129 circuit. Yeah, just another fantastic game. Brandon Ellis is doing the same.
Out of nowhere.
Yes, I never thought I'd be saying Brandon Ellis is killing it again, but he's been in ripping form, and I think part of that's the form of Asprey down back. It's really freeing up the defence, and they're certainly getting a good rebound for the Tigers. Dustin Martin and Trent Cochin turned it up. Alex Rance turned up in Supercoach. And apparently, guys, he's showing form that he might be thinking about doing a bit of a code switch. Didn't say it, but apparently that's the word.
It's quality work. Get it on the Google machine and punch it up. It was hilarious. It's up there with the best soccer dives you'll ever see.
Yeah, so a bit of diving work for old Alex Rance. Look, there was a bunch of so-so scores for Richmond from the players who may or may not be fantasy relevant. But Jono, the man I want to talk to you about, because you traded him during the week,
yep. And
that is Toby Nankervis, the Nank, 76 and 72 Supercoach.
He was slowing down big time before that buy.
Yeah, so you've just traded him in our league of record. And I just want to know, do you think it's a good time for the listeners out there to sell Toby Nankervis? Because he's been great.
I think you can get a good deal, and he's that great steak knives sort of, or need that little bit more to get the deal done piece at the moment. I mean, he's averaging quite well in both formats, but if he starts pumping out these 70s and 65s, it's going to worry a lot of people that you could potentially trade and just become valueless, basically. So, strong. But hey, the Nank's great, and so did I. But I just needed that little bit more to get the trade done for Dusty, and it was a perfect trade bit.
No, I'm not knocking the deal. I just, you know, people love the Nank
as well.
Could be a great time to sell and get some big value in a 1-on-1 or 2-for-1 deal. So, it's up to
very happy with the trade.
Yeah.
Sydney Swans. Sorry, you want to continue about your trade?
No, just people were interested in the trade. It was Dusty Martin for Nat Fyfe and Nank in Supercoach in our league of record.
So you got Dusty?
I got Dusty.
And that's a keeper?
No,
just a one suit.
Fair enough. Sydney Swans, Nick Newman, someone we all got off the waiver wire. So fantastic waiver wire pickup. averaging over 90, 112. And, gentlemen, he's not spending that much time on the ground, less than 90 minutes game time, and he's pumping out 112. I don't think it'd be too long and he becomes an absolute regular big scorer for Sydney Swans. I think this man, if he hasn't secured his spot in that best 22 now, it's not too far away. The great man that I have a poster in my room performed quite well as well, mixing it up in the forward line and through the midfield in Isaac Heaney with 109. Tom Papley, who I have in the Listener League, just picked him up from the waiver wire only 3 weeks ago. In his last 5 weeks, he's averaging just under the ton, pumped out another one, 103. How about this one? JPK, gentlemen, sitting on 54, I think it was, at three-quarter time. He tons up. Unbelievable.
Just like Alex Rance in Supercoach. He was about 20 at halftime and got you about 120. Just ridiculous.
It's an incredible thing that JPK could do. I just love him to play a full game of footy. It'll be quite remarkable what his scoring potential is. I think what actually happens is his pace doesn't allow him to actually get a lot of the footy early in the game. And as the game grinds out, because he's got such a great tank, he just becomes more and more into the game. And I think Andrew Gaff's a little bit the same, where he doesn't probably get a lot of the footy early in the first half. In the second half, he actually explodes. Lloyd was a little bit quieter with 91. Zach Jones actually learnt how to get the footy while he's on the wing, because every time he was in defence, he was racking up possessions. On the wing, he was really struggling. But this week, he seemed to find the right mix and scored 88. Dan Hand was reasonably quiet, was off the blocks nice and early, but just didn't seem to have a big impact in the game. I wonder if there's anything going on with his ribs, because we saw he come off the ground quite sore the week before. Only the 84 from him. Luke Parker, on the other hand, looks superb, but just didn't get the score on the board. And I think it's because he's spending so much time up forward. He's trying to be that sort of second tall. And Lance Franklin, very quiet. I actually tipped he was going to have a massive game, but only 61 for Buddy.
Not too bad there, especially that last quarter from the Sydney Swans was thought was fantastic. We had the twilight game there at Adelaide Oval with the Power taking on pretty gallant Brisbane Lions team, I thought. But Port Adelaide getting the chocolates in the end.
Yeah, they were good enough, Jono, and they certainly did it in the midfield, winning plus 17 contested possessions over the Brisbane Lions and double the centre clearances, because it all started with the big man in the middle, Paddy Ryder, going full beast, getting you a 98 Dream Team, 119 Supercoach. He was sensational. Ollie Wines was huge. It was nice to see him hit the scoreboard with a couple goals. So great return to form for Ollie. Robbie Gray, gentlemen, 117 Dream Team, 129 Supercoach. But what could have been? Because he missed a couple of absolute sitters on his way to two goals, four. So Robbie Gray, wow. Chad and Brad Ebert continue to get some tons. Doing pretty nice things. Darcy Byrne-Jones had a nice score in Pitt-Ubb's absence.
Sorry, gentlemen, Robbie Gray, what's the deal with him this year? He's either shocking score or right up there. Is this an injury? Is this form? Or is it just Robbie Gray?
I think it's just Robbie Gray playing deep forward, and that's going to happen sometimes and might get the occasional push through the mid when he's feeling okay, if he is carrying something.
Yeah, look, he could be carrying something, but he's just a forward. But he's very dangerous and one of the most dangerous forwards going around. But, you know, you're going to have your lean matches, aren't you?
He does.
So, anyway, Darcy Byrne-Jones, yeah, big score in Pittard's absence, 99-111. So I'd certainly look to pick up him off waivers. And the only guy who had a real stinker was the skipper, Travis Boak. What is going on? Just continues to not perform. What he was, he ain't.
He wasn't skipper for that day. They passed it on to the young child before the game, so he wasn't skipping that day.
The young child.
I actually had a look at that game closely and was admiring one player, which I'll talk about in a second. But I actually noticed that he kept on getting into beautiful positions for the short chip, but they just ignored him. It's like you're not captain, we're not kicking it to you.
Yeah, I wonder about Travis Boak. You know, he used to be a gun and he was the elite player and he got all the big offers and that, but I just think he's past it. Like, he's not fast. He's not highly skilled.
Great.
You know, what's his elite trait? The other guys have gone past him. The Chad, like, they're better ball winners in the midfield. The forwards are more skilled. I'm really, I mean, he's obviously on the downturn of his career, but the end is coming.
Too far in footy these days.
No, well, the end is coming fast, and I just wonder if he's going to Kieran Jack.
Possibly. Quite possibly.
That's not good.
But the Brisbane Lions, was quite interesting.
Sorry, Statesman, you wanted to just talk about someone?
I'll wait till I get on to Brisbane.
Okay.
Right. Yes. And speaking of Brisbane, it was quite interesting to see one Archie Smith take the first centre bounce there, Statesman.
It certainly was, but when Stefan finally got in there, noticed quite a few times he actually didn't leap. He didn't jump.
No.
So I don't know whether Archie's actually playing because Stefan's actually carrying an injury.
That's quite possible because he was not sighted at all that first quarter there, Steph Martin.
Donuts. That's exactly what he had first quarter. It was quite amazing. But moving on to the Brisbane list, the man that was absolutely amazing was Dane Zorko, gentlemen. He was just everywhere doing everything. Unbelievable. Is he in Frankston Old Boys?
Oh, yes. Captain this week.
Oh.
Actually, I had Gibbs and Zorko, and I still managed to lose. It was like four players down there.
Wow. That's incredible. Yeah, I was going to say, and you lost this week. That's incredible.
I know. Four players down. It's brutal.
Right. Well, geez, between those two, they played for four people. Absolutely incredible game, Dane Zorko. And you look at that team, and we always probably focus on two players being Rockcliffe and Martin in the scoring capability. But we've got to be serious about Dane Zorko. He's played so much forward. Now he's a true midfielder, and I think it's his rightful place. He's averaging over 120, which is quite remarkable, and something we'll talk about a little bit later on. But I'm just still amazed at the scoring this year. It has just gone to a new level. We used to get amazed that someone like a Rockcliffe could average 130 over a season. We've got six or seven players on the verge of doing that this year. It's just remarkable. And maybe it's the rule changes. We'll talk about a trade, and I'm sure you guys will dig into me for most of the rest of the year, and rightly so, on the Sam Doherty move. But when I traded Sam Doherty, which was to Jono for the listeners, I was under the impression, as history would show, that rarely do you find a defender over a whole season scoring over 100. Be one or two, maybe, because it just, you don't get enough of the footy. This year, we're finding that we've got three defenders that could possibly be over 110. One of them, and maybe two of them, might be over 120. This is just a remarkable change in the scoring that over my well over a decade of playing AFL fantasy football, it's just quite incredible. Sam Mays was amazing with 108. Bastanac got a ton as well, probably surprised his result, but he's done this before where he shows glimpses of little form. Don't go too ballistic with him on the waiver wire because I think you'll find he'll have a 40 or 50 next week. Ryan Lester's one we've been talking about for quite a while. On the waiver wires, 105 this week. He's playing magnificent footy, Ryan Lester. Robertson, I spoke about before, with 78. Daniel Rich seems to be playing reasonably consistent football at the moment, gentlemen, averaging now just over the 70 after a very slow start to the season. A couple I should mention, Tom Rockcliffe only scored 74, but it was only with 71 minutes on the ground. I thought it was a shoulder watching the game. He is certainly playing more of an outside game, but reports come through pretty quickly that he was absolutely crook as a dog. The third quarter, he didn't score at all and only spent a few minutes actually out on the ground. So sick as a dog. He'll come back. So you might want to, if you've got people playing in your league that don't listen to us, put in a bit of a bid. I think he'll be to his high scoring level over the next couple of weeks, but you might be able to snaffle him cheaply. And also Stephen Martin, the two ruck theory. But I'm wondering whether there's something actually astray with Steph at the moment with injury. And currently, I think we talked about it strategically, that they might want to keep giving games into Archie. But the two ruckman's not working for him at the moment, gentlemen.
Yeah, please go away, Archie.
No, it certainly isn't. And hopefully, if there is something wrong with Steph Martin, you can kick Archie Smith out like we did see him towards the end of last year. But we had the game on the Gold Coast on Saturday night with a deplorable Gold Coast for pretty much the whole game, taking on Carlton. Steve, fire away on the Gold Coast, mate.
Well, it's actually, I'll take the Gold Coast.
Oh, sorry, mate. I thought they were for some reason.
There was a lot of tears in my eyes for this game. Obviously, Michael Barlow. But every time Jared Lyons kicked the football, another tear went in my eye because I gave him away with Doherty. And the reality is, that was a bad call. But Jared Lyons, and the reason why I picked him up in our draft was he's a points per minute specialist. And all of a sudden, he's now starting to get a fair bit of midfield time, oblique limited minutes. So he only played 93 game time and scored 105. But now with Michael Barlow out, Jared Lyons is going to be the biggest winner here. So you'll actually see his game time rise and therefore his average. He's just under 100. I think he's going to be averaging 105 to 110 for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I don't know about that, man. Took Miller coming back in. I think, you know, I'm not sure about that. They got Riscatelli to come back in. I kind of don't know that his ceiling's...
I just think Jared Lyons has proved his weight in gold over the last couple of weeks, and I think they'll give him that task. Every time he was on the ground, they looked different.
No, they did. He played well, and he's a great addition. I just, you know, wonder what his ceiling is, because I don't think he's going to... I mean, they're going to fill that role somehow.
Anytime you want to pass him back, Jono, you're more than welcome.
It's going to cost you, though.
Yeah, I know. Gary Ablett. You want Matty Cruiser? No, Gary Ablett, unfortunately, probably wasn't at his best 91. Dave Swallow, I'm interested to see what you guys think of where he's actually at, because I just see flashes. I don't see any consistency with him at all. Is he ever going to get back to what we thought he was going to be, gentlemen?
They stick him down back like they did for a lot of that game and get that defender status. Could be a bit of interest, but hard to tell with him. Maybe they're just building the minutes for him and just assessing how he goes.
Yeah, look, I'll probably draft David Swallow next year. I think he'll probably come in at a reasonable value. We saw Jono even in the match. He went forward. He took a great contested mark. All the skills there. We forget how much football this guy's missed. It's crazy to think he's going to walk back in and be the player he was. I'd be quite bullish on him next year, but just let him get through this one first.
Makes a difference sometimes, doesn't it? Rosa, we talked about him before, 85. Jared Witts, I reckon, has no doubt been the late ruckman of choice. Most people could get him in the late 20 rounds. 83, he's averaging 90, gentlemen. That's magnificent. He's actually in the top 7 ruckman for the year, average scoring. So he's been a great pickup. Sadly, Barlow finished the game on 82. Aaron Hall, who was my captain yet again, I just can't read what Aaron Hall's going to do. Straight swap Aaron Hall for Lyons. I reckon 15 minutes into the game, I'm going, Aaron Hall is going to get dropped. Aaron Hall's going to get dropped. And then he does a few good things, but a little bit concerned with his job security. We'll see what happens with Aaron Hall. And KK was probably a bit disappointing. Conditions probably didn't help him. He's more of an outside, fine weather, mark and kick type player. He only got 67, but pretty poor performance by Gold Coast.
Yeah, whereas on the flip side, it was the Bryce Gibbs and Sam Doherty show, Steve.
It was defensively amazing, Carlton. Certainly had better ball use as well, and just great leadership across the park, I thought. But Bryce Gibbs, my God, 194, Dream Team 208. And we know a lot of people who listen to the pod, they drafted him because we said at the start of the year, Everyone hates Bryce Gibbs, and I don't know why. He's having a ripping season. If you had him, you're certainly loving the output he's getting. So, anyway. So, yeah. Doherty, Cade Simpson, Cruz, MM, they were all huge. Cripps, they were all just fantastic. What can you say? They just continue to absolutely rake possessions. And Dale Thomas was actually really good as well, 84 and 98.
He's up for sale on the Keeper League if anyone wants him. Needs to be a damn good offer.
Who?
Jared Lyons.
and Sam Doherty.
Oh no.
So yeah, Cruz would be up for sale. I'd be, you know, what do you want? He's being great. So yeah, no, get all over him. Cruz was huge. Carlton people think he's the Australian ruckman. Good luck to him.
Is he going to be in trouble?
Yeah, Daisy. I think it's a tough one because the two players were going at the ball, but you see Daisy pulled out at the last minute and went up, and he took the man. So I'm going to be really interested to see what happens.
And you make contact. Yeah, you make contact, and you've chosen to go the man. You got to accept if you collect the head.
Yeah, I don't know that he got the head, but he certainly hit him. Okay. I was on Twitter that
it
night.
Was a big hit.
I know Carlton fans saying he was going for the ball, but he clearly pulled out at the last minute and went past the ball to take the man. So I'll be really interested to see. Jack Silvani also played another good game. 80 Dream Team, 96. If I had a team full of old boys in a keeper league, I might be looking to add Jack Silvani to my forward line. He's got something.
You are in a Cooper League and you have an aging list.
That's you're putting facts in the story. That's not much to say about that. Anyway, but Carlton were awesome. They had 26 plus 26 contested possessions, almost 100 more disposals. What can you say? They were absolutely fantastic, and good luck to them. I just wanted to talk about Doherty quickly before we go too much further. But we'll look at the defence. The defenders for Carlton are scoring, obviously, huge. But I'm just wondering, as they get better, whether these guys are going to continue to score so well. I know Doherty can go into the midfield and score well there. But if their team gets better, surely their defenders don't score 140. Maybe Doherty averages like that 95, which is still very good.
Oh, look, I'm not expecting him to go 110, 120 every year, but hey, if he's a 95 defender, I'm taking that every day of the week.
And I will say, I'm still surprised, and it's a bit like the Josh Kelly thing, I'm still surprised after the performance he's been having that he hasn't received the attention yet. So we've seen JJ get closed down on a weekly basis. Now, my question is, Carlton are starting to become a good team. Now, is that when the attention's going to come, when they start becoming a threat to others?
Quite possibly. And I think people just say, oh, poor little Carlton, they're having a crack, but nothing too serious, at least for another year or two. So just let them play their football how they want to play for now.
Yeah, I think it's interesting with Doherty because the guy can actually go into a contest and win his own ball.
Yep.
So they can put him through the midfield. When he wins the ball off the opposition, it's often contested. Often they've just hacked it away, sure. But it's often contested, unlike JJ, who's really outside. So.
Yep, agreed. Yeah.
And moving on to the last game of the round, it was a woeful Western Bulldogs, destroyed by a pretty good Melbourne side. And kicking off with the Ds, Christian Salem continuing his decent form, getting your 110 in Dream Team, 100 Supercoach, Tommy Mack. Kicking a few snags there for the Demons, turning up both formats. And his brother Oscar as well, also turning up in both formats, taking the 12 marks, pretty handy there. Jeffy Garlett, we have spoken about him here on the show before, got you the ton in Dream Team, kicking 2 goals 4. Jordan Lewis got you a ton in Dream Team. Michael Hibbard has been going for quite well for this year, gets you the ton in Dream Team, only the 82 Supercoach. Jack Watts, who we mentioned in the injury report before, came off the ground there in the last quarter, kicked the three goals, got to the ton in Supercoach 97 Dream Team. Cam Pedersen, is this the last time we see some...
No. No, it's not.
Nope. No, Steve's sake.
Well, I think he's got some values. He's not going out of the team until Jesse Hogan's back. I'll put it that way.
Yeah,
but he's not going to keep the scoring if he's not going to be in the ruck.
Oh, but he wasn't in the ruck today. You still got value, I'll put it that way.
No, didn't spend a lot of time in the ruck there. That was mainly done by Tommy McDonald. Clayton Oliver also continuing his good season, going to the Daniels Cross School of Handballing with that 23 handballs and 6 kicks. James Harms was pretty good. Could have kicked a bag of 5 with a 1-goal 4. And Nathan Jones was a bit down, but he had that injury. The rest of the Mitch Hannon was also pretty good, I thought, as well. To the Bulldogs.
What's going on with the Bulldogs, John? Come on.
No. Yeah, that's right. He was playing on a wing and half back going forward. He was everywhere.
Oh yeah, Cam Pedersen was yeah, he's not going anywhere, man. He's still in the ruck. He's all right. And they need Hogan back for him to go out.
No, he was really good today, I thought. The Western Bulldogs, Jordan Ruffhead had a really good game playing in the ruck there, had the 24 hitouts. Tom Liberatore in his first game got you the 109 in Dream Team, 95 Supercoach with the 9 tackles, also kicked a nice goal for him. Zane Cordy, someone who we really don't speak about fantasy-wise, was quite good down the back, especially with that ball coming in every 5 seconds with all the Bulldogs turnovers. That was to be expected. Matty Suckling also returned you a nice score. Mitch Wallace is playing like a man possessed who is certainly feeling it after missing out on that premiership last year. He scored you 114 Supercoach, 97 Dream Team. So well done to those who picked up Mitch Wallace. The Bont, he was so-so, getting 90s in both formats. Caleb Daniel, he's been terrific the last few weeks, getting new 90s in both formats. But that's about it. They just looked slow.
McRae, Dale House, two of the so-called top 3 or 4 forwards seem to be struggling over the last few weeks.
McRae actually hasn't been too bad. He got the ton last week, but the Bulldogs just look lazy. Like, yeah, it really is a premiership hangover, and it looks like they don't care, and they're just going through the motions. And we saw last year they're hungry at the contest and moving the ball quickly, but nothing like that this year, especially in today's game. So real concern if you Western Bulldogs fantasy owners.
Or supporters.
I don't care. I've got the premiership. We got the premiership. I've got the DVD.
You've got a hangover too. Got the DVD. See, this is why the side is struggling.
Yep, no hunger. All drunk.
We'll just do a Hawthorn. We'll come back in 3 years' time and win 4 in a row, whatever it was, and we'll just keep going.
Stop living in the past, Marge.
Yeah, John, you live in the past. That's brutal.
I don't care. I don't care.
It's all over, buddy. It's all over.
Yes.
You need a fullback, actually. Especially with Marcus Adams and all the other guys going out.
Everyone's leaving. Get off the bandwagon. It's all over.
Look how well that's doing. No,
Same amount of wins, mate.
We have a question this week, Steve.
We do. It's, what was it? I didn't write it down.
The who to pick up with Barlow out this week.
Oh, yeah, sorry. With Barlow getting injured, who should we pick up? I think Took Miller is a bit of an option to float an offer, and I think Riscatelli's free, absolutely free, like maybe Rosa.
Yes.
Very quickly.
So, yeah, get on. Get on those boys.
Oh.
All right, that wraps up the show for this week. If you want to check us out on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, at The Draft Doctors or at Statesman33. Check out the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. We've got articles dropping each week. And check us out on the Facebook page, search The Draft Doctors. Good luck in picking up the right waivers, and we'll see you next week. Or Crazy Horse. We don't know.
Oh, crazy. Oh, God.
I gotta go. Catch you later.
Bye bye. See you, gentlemen.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.